So I've been reading this book.
Oh, right.
Think Out of the Box by Mike Vance. And it's like a kind of self-help book or whatever. But I bought it because, and even on the cover up here, it says former dean of Disney University, this Mike Vance guy. And there's only like two videos that you can find of him on YouTube, him like speaking. But that's what he did. That's basically.
What do you mean former dean of Disney University? Isn't Disney University the training program? Right?
I never really thought about it until this moment. I just trusted this man's credential as former dean.
Why does the Disney University have a dean? It's for employee training. It's Disney University. It's by Magic Kingdom. It's behind Magic Kingdom. I guess there's a dean. That's just one step too far.
It's like it's not a real school with students in it at all times.
Oh, man. I got expelled from Hamburger University.
I'm the superintendent of Hamburger University.
Well, I'm the dorm advisor. My floor at Hamburger University.
Yeah, Mike, do you really just mean that you wrote the copy for that? And you just
He probably was in charge of the workshops and
Something official that makes it so you can have this title.
He should have been called senior manager in charge of employee training, but because he works in a fun corporation.
Listen, Mike Vance is a fun guy. That's like his whole thing. Because,
oh, is it?
Well, yeah, for so many of these guys, because again, this is motivational speaking, seminar type of guy, that whole environment, especially back in the 80s, you know, or even before that, where
this is the evolution of dance. I'm sorry, every time I hear motivational speaking, all I can think of is that guy in he was wearing a Crush shirt. Remember the first viral video? Evolution of Dance?
The Evolution of Dance.
That guy was a motivational speaker.
Wow.
I think that's why he did the dance.
That would make sense, because I remember having people who would come to middle school and give you like a big presentation on why not to do drugs and it ruined my life and stuff like that. And then there would be like a dance number. I remember that. I swear to God, that was a real thing.
I've encountered a few motivational speakers in my life.
Were you motivated?
I suppose. I have a lot of thoughts on motivational speakers. I think in general, just be the most condescending version of myself.
Go for it.
But I honestly believe that it works very well, the shtick. It's like magic tricks for people that have no connection between their feelings and the English language. I know that sounds very reductive, but you know what? I know that's like the worst way of putting it, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like if you are not constantly connecting your feelings to sentences, this guy will do it for you and it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
Motivational speakers are just, let me say in words what you feel or what you want to achieve. And to me, and this is going to sound, I'm going to come off as a real asshole. I know.
It's okay.
It doesn't help and it doesn't do anything for me because at the end of the day, it's a bunch of isms.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of like empty phrases.
I mean, I do
agree. In my experience.
I do agree that there is like a level of magic trickery happening, because even if it's not that necessarily, just the idea of there's someone on stage who has all these platitudes even to give you, and then to use that to motivate you and then give you and then mix in some success stories and all this stuff, like it does end up becoming a valuable thing to certain people who I guess didn't have that inherent motivation or needed it externally or whatever. So I get it. It makes sense. But yeah, it's definitely, it's not what it's presented as most of the time, where this speech is going to change your life because of the contents of the speech.
The speech, that's what they do say that a lot. This speech is going to change your life. I also feel like it serves a very unique purpose for people that do not have a good community of support.
Yeah.
And it's extremely intoxicating for those people.
Yeah, well, they'll have a ready-made one for you sometimes. And then, I had to go get a job in corporate America. And then from there, they sent me to a convention center in Minneapolis one month where this fella really blew my socks off. Really.
Because if nobody has ever told you to your face that they love you and believe in you and that they think you can achieve anything if you just work really hard, then you perhaps will purchase a course or a book.
Oh, yeah. Or get some of the supplemental materials.
Yeah. Anyway, so you have a book.
So I have a book written by...
Yeah. Anyways, I think it's a bunch of crap for a bunch of losers. I'm sorry. I love you, buddy.
Okay, because trust me, I have no attachment to this book. I did not buy it for that purpose.
You liar.
I needed motivation. No, I just needed Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
The Game.
Yeah, that's I needed that. I needed The Secret. Of course, I watched that one. That was very easy.
Yeah.
I didn't have to read at all, which is perfect.
The slipperiest of slopes.
I bought this on the merit of the dean of Disney University, okay?
I still don't understand. Does he talk about being the dean of Disney University in the book?
I believe he does. I didn't get to
that
part.
What do you mean you believe he does?
I didn't read the whole book yet.
Why?
Because that's not what I'm talking about right now. This is a simple story, an excerpt from the book that I needed to tell you.
Okay.
So I don't even know if it's that type of situation, but now I think I told you about this part. But when you open the book, it's got the quotes, words of praise for authors of Think Out of the Box, which is the name of the book. And it's got people on here like the chairman of Apple Computers, one of the development guys from Johnson & Johnson, AT&T, a bunch of stuff that you're like recognizing. And then you get to the very, very bottom and there's a quote, "Mike, you're one of the most creative guys I've met in a long time." And that's from Walt Disney.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the final quote after we talked to George Fink, former president and CEO of Remco America, and Jim Newton, an author of Uncommon Friends, and all these other quotes from these type of people, CEO of VNA Healthcare with all these, "Oh, this is a great book." At the very bottom, you have, "Mike, you're one of the most creative guys I've met in a long time." Walt Disney, like with the quote, never. It's like, if you can dream it, you can do it. Walt Disney is the same thing. Now, unfortunately, there's not a lot of like.
I don't get it.
What don't you get? Walt walked up to Mike.
How f***ing old is this guy? When did he write this?
I think this book, let's see if we can get a copyright.
Was he 10? Because I'm thinking of this as like a Michael Eisner era type guy.
And he is, because even in the book, this book and concepts, ideas are inspired by, and it gives like credit, Walt Disney and his brother Roy Disney, they had a dream, they thought outside the box. And right below it, E. Cardon Walker and Michael Eisner, they're thinking out of the box, kept the dream alive and growing. So he was alive during that era and presumably operating within the company, you know, Disney University style then.
When was the book published?
Copyright 1995, 1997.
Yeah, that's when I would have guessed. Weird.
Very weird. Yeah, because I didn't even really question that.
Anyways, are you still not sure the reason you...
No, yeah, this is just because I read a story in here that it's a story that we know and we've heard and many people, it's like part of Disney legend at this point, but it has one addition, one extra part that I wasn't familiar with. You can let me know if you've heard about this part.
Okay.
This is a section on vision, so maybe we can get a little inspired as this is happening. Vision is a crucial component in the formula for success.
See? Okay, sorry.
To be successful, you must work. Well, I knew that. Yeah. He just said it in a way that was more flowery.
Right.
Like, what the hell, man?
It's for people that don't, you know, have words in their brain. They have shapes. When I think of that, I think green circle, not that word. But when you said word, it made more sense. So let's go with word.
Can I buy this on DVD and tape? Anyway, vision is...
Get back to your loser book, you nerd.
I didn't even question that he was... How are you the dean of Disney University? How? In what capacity?
Because they have a dean.
Do you get disciplined by him if you act up? Vision is a crucial component in the formula for success. Mm-hmm. It holds the keys to the future. The inspirational lives we look to for guidance remind us of this time and time again. The following incident will illustrate our point. At Disney Studios in Burbank, California, Mike could gaze out of his window office. Oh, yeah. It's also in like third person. I guess we have a Diane Deacon is involved too. I guess that just keeps.
So Mike is a big enough figure that Diane is writing about Mike.
Yes.
The author of this book. So it's Mike's theories, but Diane is observing Mike.
Yeah. I guess she's like kind of mirroring him, and it's like co-writing it almost,
okay,
with him providing some of this philosophy and some of these stories, I guess. At this time in Burbank, California, Mike could gaze out of his office window across Buena Vista Street to St. Joseph's Hospital, where Walt Disney died. The morning he died, Mike was talking on the telephone when he saw the flag being lowered over the hospital around 8:20 a.m. His death was preceded by an amazing incident that reportedly took place the night before in Walt's hospital room. A journalist, knowing Walt was seriously ill, persisted in getting an interview with Walt and was frustrated on numerous occasions by the hospital staff. When he finally managed to get into the room, Walt couldn't sit up in bed or talk above a whisper.
Oh, damn. They were doing chest compressions.
When he finally got...
What's the key to success?
Walt, you need to get me the
key. We need to intubate him.
Even he didn't know the keys for success.
What do you think about vision, Walt? What do you think is the number one reason that some people are successful? It's flatlining. I keep shouting platitudes at him, leading questions. What separates a good leader from a bad one? Sorry. How do you inspire people?
When he finally managed to get in the room, Walt couldn't sit up in bed or talk above a whisper. Walt instructed the reporter to lie down on the bed next to him so he could whisper in the reporter's ear. For the next 30 minutes, Walt and the journalist lay side by side as Walt referred to an imaginary map of Walt Disney World on the ceiling above the bed.
That's strange. I never heard this journalist story.
We've heard the thing about Walt was, you know, even pointing at the ceiling and saying, here's where Epcot's
coming. I know that. But that was from Roy, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know that. a man got into bed with a dying Walt Disney and listened within earshot as they pointed. Again, I would not give this story a lick of credibility had I read it online, but it came from...
From Mike Vance.
The former dean of Disney, so...
I wonder if he talked about the roller rink.
Yeah, did he point that part
out? Did he point the ice rink out? There's a very...
The swamp ride, did he talk about that one?
Right, yeah, all the stuff.
The bullshit they wrote on the map.
So that's all you got out of this book? Is that...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
just
finish.
There was a journalist?
I didn't need to read.
I will read the book. There's got to be more shit in
that's
here
That's what
about
you
this.
Think? You're going to be so mad trying to read that book.
All right, let's go to every mention of Walt Disney.
Control F Walt Disney on that book for me.
I'm trying. I gotta do it manual. I gotta go to the index. By the way, my favorite thing in the index so far, the Y. In the Y side, there's only two things in the Y's. The Yippie Day at Disneyland. And then the Yugoslavian government. Unrelated, very far away from each other in the book. Bubble bath, 50 and 51. Oh, okay. Category note-taking. That is 35, 37, 39, 54, 56, 161. When you take notes, make categories. The book is called Think Out of the Box.
Yeah, no, but not think outside of the box, I did notice. So it's almost like you're in a box, you need to think your way out of it, I bet. That's probably the double entendre.
But here's my question, though. Is this the originator of the phrase? Look that up. Think out of the box. Because if he originated that phrase, I take back everything I said about this guy. I'd pay money to see the think outside the box. Like, look up the origins of that phrase.
Holy hell. Wait a second.
No way.
I don't know, because it gave me a thing. All the stuff that pops up is, no way, this has got to be something different. It's another nine-dot box, though. There could be conflicting etymology on this phrase. Let me look.
I figured out how to open the box. There's instructions.
It's that easy.
He has the... trademark on the phrase think out of the box.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only seeing things that are this. I'm not seeing any other.
That's seriously
crazy.
No way.
Dude, you might need to look into it too, just to get some additional
you
research.
Keep looking.
Eyes.
I'm gonna keep looking for, okay,
because I'm willing to say that I think this band coined it.
Okay, here we go. The many categories considered by the Organizational Development Group for Walt Disney World's entrance complex is what made the entrance complex begin to look inviting. Soon we realized that people don't focus on a single physical sensation at any given time. Although only one sensation might be working on the conscious level, the other four senses are constantly working at the subconscious level. We found ourselves working with sight, what the entrance complex would look like. Before long, we're considering not only the physical appearance of the entrance complex, but how it would feel to the visitor. I'm going to speak in a somewhat... negative way about Mike Vance.
Are you going
to
disparage my new hero?
Oh yeah, sorry. Your new leader won massive respect if he coined the phrase think out of the box and has the trademark on it.
Heck yeah.
Secondly, I like how he's phrasing this. Like, we realized when we were designing Walt Disney World that we need to use all five senses. And it's like, no, that's when you realize that. They realized that like 11 years prior when they're making Disneyland. It's like, this is when you're catching up.
Yeah.
As our team contemplated what sounds like Walt Disney World visitors would hear as they enter the park, and if the entrance complex would be appealing to the other senses of touch, taste, and smell, as well as sight and sound, we began searching for a word more expansive than imagination. Imagination means the former... Wait, what? Image. Okay, I love this.
A new concept.
I know, well, hold on. Didn't stick around. Okay, I'm sure Mike Vance is an extremely reputable person and a very kind one, too. It's in the 90s, so he's just trying to use the whole, like, Disney's a very successful company. You need to be a successful company, and Disney had a successful leader, and you want to be a successful leader. These people are creative, and you want to be creative, and I was there, kind of, for some of this stuff, but now I'm also just, I need to, like, fill pages on a book, and so he's just, like, saying stuff that sounds, like, vaguely Disney, but you've never heard in your life. Like, I mean, to us, imagination came to mean the forming of an image. To incorporate all five senses, we coined the term sensation. No.
He owns the patent.
No way.
No,
that's not right.
Yeah, the word sensation wasn't invented till the mid-90s.
Look that up. there's no way. We began searching for a word more expansive than imagination. Why?
For what?
And this is also why I hate motivational speakers and these types of career planning, because they speak in such general terms that it's completely useless. Because this scenario, everyone's standing around in the swamps of Florida trying to construct Magic Kingdom, there's a group over there that are actually doing the work. And then us over here and says, guys, I don't think imagination is a word that's going to cover everything we need to do here as an organization together. Us as thought leaders, we need to get together and form a new word that can really reach the realms of what we are trying to achieve here.
And he's saying that in the same way that the shirtless 70s construction workers are like, we don't have enough lumber. We're not going to be able to make this place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's huddled up and he's saying, we need another word for imagination. It's just not going to work. Meanwhile, the muck waves are coming out of the
our new attraction is being returned to the earth. Being taken back.
Okay, so they realized, and this is a completely true story, and is one of the most famous words that the Walt Disney Company has coined, even more so than Imagineer or Fantasia, is imagination. Means the forming of images in context of creative thought. Imagination. That's what imagination means. That's what it means.
Yeah, but you can't trademark imagination.
That's what it means. What the fuck? That's crazy. We realized very quickly that imagination wasn't going to cover what we were doing here.
Wasn't going to cut it.
So we created another word, imagination.
We just pronounced it differently and spelled it differently.
It's spelled image-ination. To incorporate all five senses, we coined sensination, which means simultaneously thinking in the additional senses of sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. That's what sensation means. What the f*** is going? Am I losing my goddamn mind?
I was going to say, but isn't that what happens all the time in natural life, where you experience all the sensations at once?
Sensination. Sensination gave us a wider range to scan our thought waves.
Oh no.
Sensination must be cued or triggered by some mental device to engage the creative process. Dude, I can't do this.
The look.
Yeah, you can't capture the look on the microphone. Cues and triggers are found within a single sense or a combination of senses. Okay. You can become more proficient with the use of sensation by regularly employing the concept. Think of a subject from the perspective of sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. Consider each sense apparently at first, then in different combinations with one another. Make sure to do that order. It won't work. Don't combine before you do it individually. It'll f*** it up.
Like different flavors, man. Make sure.
Yeah, don't do sight and sound at the same time. You'll get overwhelmed.
You get a drink of water in between, like it's a cookie tasting test.
Yeah, you'll have to start the book over.
Well, I think there's a follow-up book that's like...
Oops, you thought too fast by Mike Vance.
Think back inside the box.
Right, let's get you back in that box.
You've gone too far.
If you were designing a restaurant with a New Orleans theme, like the Blue Bayou restaurant at Disneyland, what would you picture in your mind? The Louisiana Bayou country, shadowy swamps, and what else? These design features and numerous others, including the iron dining furniture, add up to a complete sensation experience. Sensation. Just say sensation.
It's almost like every time there's a word like that, it's specifically to just make you stop and get kind of confused for a second, because otherwise you would just go, just replace that with sensation, and you're like, okay, of course, yes, so just keep going.
Or is this guy's entire career and net worth completely betting on him being able to make things that are hugely influential and then trademark them and then just, I don't know, sue everyone else that uses them? Because I mean, if he has Think Out of the Box and he has the trademark on that, has it trademarked in this book.
Like I can definitely see that, because then all of these motivational tours simply become a promotional tour for all these great words that you're trying to introduce into the lexicon of public. You know what I mean? It would be like if we were touring Let's Get Ready to Rumble, in hopes that people would grab it and use it.
So I can sue him. Don't you use Think Out of the Box? I made that. You're the guy. I'm the guy.
There's no way you made that.
And also, he's probably like, sensation, not my best. but it doesn't matter.
I got a million.
I don't have to bat 1,000 here. I just need a couple. And I'm set for life. I already got Think Out of the Box. On the razor's edge. That's me too. No, it's not. It is.
Try it. Try and use it. See what happens.
No.
No way.
No way. Yeah. These design features and numerous others, including the iron dining furniture, add up to a complete sensation experience. Each sensory element, sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste, gotta get that word count up, is subtle, just as it is in nature.
Repeat them every time.
Every time. Night before my book report is due. Okay, so then he talks about body speak.
Is that just body language rebranded?
Yeah, in a millisecond, given the necessary sensor stimulation, your entire body can turn red. Blushing is unmistakable evidence that something sensational is occurring. Am I reading this wrong? Because that says sensational. No, it doesn't. Sensation. Okay, so if I want to spell sensational, S, I'm the spelling bee. I'm sweating. S-E-N-S-A, T-I-O-N, sensation.
Yes.
Sen, S-E-N, say, S-A-T-I-O-N, sensation. Mm-hmm. But this is S-E-N-S-A-N, sensation-a-t-i-o-n-a-l, sensational.
That's a different word.
Sensational.
That's just different enough.
Sensational. Not my best. Is it in your life at the moment? It could be rage, embarrassment, or any number. Okay, so here's a whole paragraph about blushing.
And that it happens when you experience certain things.
Right. Here's one about goosebumps. Here's one about chills from the mouths of babes. Okay. Let's... I'm interested, Mike. You got me.
This is the type of thing that got Walt Disney. His ears would perk up because he's just hearing some guy.
I own the trademark on that. Don't say that. I'll sue you. This is a story about Steve Jobs. Don't care. The five senses.
I'm sure he met the guy who made the sure. sticky note. All the excellent people in the world.
I'm laser focused on one Walt Disney. The five senses. Sight. Oh my gosh. I'm still in tools for opening the box. Is there... Okay, so it
Dude,
starts...
Dude, are we ever going to get the box open?
I skipped the chapter called How Did We Get Boxed In?
Oh, okay. That might help explain.
Sexy bubbles. Oh, here's bubble baths. Remember that from the index? I found it.
Perfect.
Sexy bubbles. Bubble baths provide unique and potentially creative experiences that fall appropriately under the tactile category. Mike went for more than 1 year in Korea. Oh, I forgot. Mike isn't writing this.
This is a semi-autobiography.
Mike went for more than 1 year in Korea during the war without taking a real bath. He vowed that if he ever got out of there alive, he would take at least one bubble bath per day for the rest of his life. I'm obsessed with this guy.
Mike, you're a real cut-up Walt Disney. Mike, you're a real character, you know
that? According to Mike, the only exception has been in some hotels that have thick sandpaper strips glued to the bottom of their tubs. You can't explain the marks they leave. You might not believe sensual bubble baths are that important, but we're dead serious about how much bubble baths stimulate the creative thinking process. What? I mean, at least this is specific, but it's weird. That's the other.
I appreciate it. Right. That you're giving me your keys for success. Right. But I don't know if they'll really work for me. It's so personal too. Like, you know, that's like, there's no way that's just something he stole from somebody right. else. Cause even down to like, oh, well, some motels, they have that terrible sandpaper texture that I know so well from traveling this great nation.
Especially cause it's been five pages of sight is the thing you do with your eyes. Whenever you visualize something with your eyes closed, you can almost see it as though your eyes were open. It's just a bunch of crap. And then it's like, okay, fine. I'll get specific. Sexy bubbles. I love taking a bubble bath. I love it when my ass hits the bottom of the bath, but not in the hotels because sometimes my ass hits the bottom and it hurts. And it's like, okay, what? Okay, I guess, man.
He's like, what? That's how I get all my ideas. You wanted me to tell you.
It'd be like me being like, yeah, I watch like earwax videos because I like it. You want to go for the dry earwax ones? If the earwax is... And they're like, what? And it's like, I don't know. It calms me down. I love watching like horseshoe videos. I like seeing wait, what do you mean? I just put on videos of like horses getting their horseshoes taken off by farmers. Maybe do that.
That's my thing.
Yeah. We shouldn't just jump in the tub real quick like taking a shower. Bubble bath connoisseurs follow a proven ritual. First, you must have lots of bubbles.
New type of guy unlocked.
In fact, the bubbles should be overflowing onto your bathroom floor. Candles placed around the tub add both romance and aroma to the experience, adding smell and sight to the soft touch of the warm, soapy water. Your favorite music playing in the background and a glass of champagne with fresh strawberries complete the setting like in the movie Pretty Woman. After creating such a sensational sensation...
He's got to use it.
After creating such a sensation environment... It's a crime to enjoy it alone, but the rest is up to you. What the f***?
You're Mike Wildin'.
Mike, you're crazy. What?
He's like, I know.
I'll tell you how I can get out of the box. You're not going to like it. What? How are you going to pivot back into Disney University?
Think out of the bath.
It's very strange. This is all very strange. It's
I'm finding it informative, though.
I'm enjoying it.
I haven't heard this one before. Tony Robbins didn't tell me this one. take a bubble bath, drop everything.
Drop trowel.
Put aside a couple hours, pour yourself a glass of wine, maybe some company, and that is his creative process.
Right.
Literally, like a Hunter S. Thompson type of situation. Gonzo motivationalism.
It's just such like a 1980s movie thing of like, we open just after the lovemaking has ended. You see him come out of the bubbles.
The rose-petaled bathtub.
Right. The candle lit, and he emerges from the bubbles. I've got it.
And then he writes this.
Our team working on the entrance complex to Walt Disney. Okay, so he keeps saying... Okay, so...
Oh, I forgot.
All right. Our team working on the entrance complex to Walt Disney World came up with a term. Of course,
they another one. Well, that's all he does, really.
For working with color called color lining. Walt, of course, was always interested in how color was going to be used. So chapter 3, we finally got out of... Tools for escaping the box, I think is what it was called. Tools for opening the box.
Well, we got
it. We're not out of the box. We can open it, though. The 9-point formula for success has gradually emerged. This is chapter 3. Okay, Roy O. Disney, quote, if you want someone to care, capture their minds and their hearts. Like, oh, wow, what a great quote. That's what caring means. That's what that means. If you want someone to think, you have them use their brain. A place where there is no excitement or anticipation about the next great gadget, invention, or source of entertainment would be a dull, lifeless community. Hey, that's our lives now. A consumer wasteland. Hey, wait.
Wait a second.
This is the first... He doesn't understand that he's predicting it, but that's our lives now.
A perfect oracle is incredible.
Accidentally being right because you're just trying to fill words, because the point of this is saying, who could imagine life without colon bullet point list? Get me down this page. I gotta finish page 68.
That's like hitting enter for him. Yeah. And then he just fills it.
Who could imagine life without the original Ford Mustang? Television, stereo FM, Panavision, looking around the room, the automatic washer dryer, the personal computer, wash and wear fabrics, jet travel, cellular telephones, fax machines, hair dryers, home video VCRs.
And then he gets it, he's like, finally,
lamp.
Made it again. Lorem ipsum text. Right. Like, wait a minute, Mike. Well, they didn't know back then. They thought he was like, he speaks Latin. I don't know. He's moved on. They couldn't copy and paste it.
And then it's just a whole full page of just A, colon, SSSDDDFFFA.
Fell asleep.
I find sleeping to be a great
Does finish the sentence. Trails off.
When Walt Disney was urged to make a sequel to the hugely successful Three Little Pigs animated motion picture, he said, no more pigs.
A no visionary.
You can't top pigs with pigs. That's funny because like everyone else in the book is they're all just saying crap. Like here's one. Creativity is the thrust of life. We need new and original products. But then every time it cuts to a Walt Disney quote, it's no more pigs. You can't top pigs with pigs. That guy was brass tacks all the way. Because no more pigs. You can't top pigs with pigs. He didn't see any creativity in repetition.
It's like, no, he was just sick of pigs that day. He was in a bad mood.
I just don't like pigs.
He had 20 pigs in his office for a first shoot, right. And he was mad.
Like a little writer came and was like, they want to do a Three Little Pigs sequel. And he's like, no more pigs. But in reality, his office had pigs all over it. Ugh. The 9-point formula for success, if you can believe it. Have you gotten to this part of the book?
No.
It's a literal formula.
Okay, here we go.
I to the third plus P to the third over V plus M equals C to the third. I'm not joking. It's right there. Look at it. I to the third
plus... It's literal math.
It's actual math. It's an actual formula for success.
Is that algebra, technically? Because it's got letters?
Does he own the phrase formula for success? Look that up. Make sure he doesn't own...
Oh, we're in such trouble.
Oh, no.
Any colloquialisms, you got
to
watch.
Okay, right? So C to the third is caring, cooperation, and creating. Here's a really great advice. You must take responsibility and ownership for cooperating and making it meaningful to you and your circumstances. So make sure to do that, by the way.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Here's another great advice, random sentence. Facing reality, you can't make someone a caring person by simply saying, you should care more. Yeah, that's actually true.
These are just truisms.
Maybe we're getting somewhere. Some people just seem to have it. Oh, like, that's my book. That's my self-help book. My self-help book is called Some People Just Seem to Have It. So you just open it. That's the one sentence. Some people just seem to have it. And if you bought this book... P to the third is people, place, product. If you want the division part, you have to divide by V plus M, which is vision and method. In fact, at a luncheon Mike had with Walt and Los Angeles businessman Emmett McGonigal at the studio in the 1950s. They discussed Mike's thoughts about designing creative environments like the kitchen for the mind.
What?
Well, let me go to the index. Oh, here we go. Kitchen for the mind. A room filled with creative... it's actually in the glossary. A room filled with creativity-stimulating objects and decor. A team center for the home. designing creative environments like the Kitchen for the Mind, something clearly dear to Walt and Mike's heart, of course. I guess they were buddies, they were best friends.
In the 50s, Walt was talking about Mike's ideas.
And I'm reading this book in 1995.
How old is this guy? This is crazy.
In fact, it was on this occasion of hearing Mike's Kitchen for the Mind concepts that Walt complimented him on the steps leading into the Disney's dining room, known as the Coral Room, saying, quote, "Mike, you're one of the most creative guys I've met in a long time."
Wait a minute. He didn't even mean it in a this type of way. He meant it like, oh, the artwork here is very nice. This painting you made is very nice. This interior design.
No, he was just talking about the Kitchen for the Mind.
Oh.
Later, Walt's right-hand man, Card Walker, approached Mike about joining the Disney staff. He was at like a lunch with Walt, and he was just probably talking his ear off about this Kitchen of the Mind thing. And because in Mike's head, he's trying to put words to what other people feel comes naturally to them. I don't know him, but this is what a lot of motivational speakers are, is they're trying to put words to what comes naturally to successful people so that people that are struggling to become successful can take on. I know I'm just going to come off like a this whole episode, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So he's like, well, you know, for creative people, they need a creative environment. And he's like explaining this to Walt Disney, who like one of the most innately creative people, who has, you know, has just been creative his entire life. Say what you want about him. Oh, he can't draw. He's a mean boss. He's creative though. Yeah. And so he's like a creative person.
Can't take that away from
him. Yeah. And so he's just sitting there and you know, he's like, yeah, it's a kitchen for the mind. It's a place where people can go to be creative. And he's like, he's like mansplaining creativity to Walt Disney. And
he's like, you should get one of these, Walt. And he's like, son, I've had one of these.
But Walt is not, in my mind, I'm guessing that in this meeting, Walt's thinking about completely something else. But then he hears Kitchen of the Mind. And in Walt's mind, a kitchen cabaret-esque animatronic show is playing out. And he's like, oh, I get it. And it's like, oh, like it's like a toaster with a face. And then he's completely droning out when Mike starts talking about like the Six Sigma or whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, the refrigerator can like do a dance.
His shelves jiggle when he does it. And it's kind of, he's imagining this just within 1 second. He's that creative, just on his own.
Right.
He didn't need to invent the words for where you come up with an idea like that. It just happened.
And he's just having the best time in his mind, actually being creative, while Mike is trying to put words to what he is actually doing. Every time he says kitchen the mind, he thinks of something else. Oh man, it'd be cool if the stand mixer was like a hula girl. That would be neat. And so then after the meeting, you know, Walt's had a great meeting. And he's like, Mike, you're one of the most creative. He's just attributing all those ideas to Mike. Mike, you're one of the most creative guys I've met in a long time. Kitchen of the mind. Keep that up. And the blender's like a ballerina. The war started for Mike when his troop ship docked at the port of... Hundreds of homeless children found the soldiers and beseeched them for food and handouts. The children were clothed in rags and adequate to protect them from the bitter cold. This is on the same page of the Walt Disney story. Even though they clearly were children, the expressions on their face and the look in their eyes made them appear 100 years old. Needless to say, these children made an impression on Mike, an impression that haunts him to this day.
Wow.
Indelibly etched in his mind is an image of forgotten children, abandoned like the discarded rubble piled by the rebels on the railroad tracks. The following story was the one Walt Disney heard Mike tell at lunch before Mike was approached by Card Walker to join. This is the same lunch. Mike began by describing how, between the enemy's violent outbursts, they waited and waited and waited. The political stalemate over the war that wasn't supposed to be a war began grinding them down. As soldiers, their lives bounced back and forth between boredom and sheer terror.
Is this the story he's telling to the guys?
And he said this is the story he told Walt Disney at that meeting.
Oh my God.
It's crazy because in Walt's mind, he's thinking like pots and pans going...
All the kitchen utensils standing up and doing their shimmying.
Yeah.
And Walt was just like, dude, I just drove an ambulance. I don't know about any of this.
This is a lot about Mike's war experience, and it is very specific. You hear Mike talk about success in business, your eyes glaze over, but you want him to write? I feel a little bad. He went through hell in this war. Is he still alive? No, he's dead. He was born in 1929.
Holy heck. What an icon.
Oh my gosh, he has a book called Raise the Bar. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, Mike Vance, the motivational speaker who popularized the phrase, think outside the box. Yeah, I don't think he originated it. There's no way. He didn't coin the term, but he popularized the phrase. When Walt Disney World was being built in Florida, literally everyone, thousands of people who worked on the site, were required to attend 2 days of training on the Disney philosophy. Even if some subcontractors had only a few days of work, they were paid for 2 additional days to attend the sessions on the Disney way. Roy O. Disney believed strongly in building the Disney philosophy into the very foundation of the facility, even if a customer would never see the way foundations were poured or how well the wiring was done. Disney quality went into the foundation. A very large man who operated a bulldozer came to one of Mike's sessions at Walt Disney U. The dirt mover had no expertise except to move dirt, and yet he solved brilliant math equations while working off duty as a janitor. Oh wait, sorry, I added that. That was a movie I saw.
No. I love that one.
And he came and he said, "No one's been able to solve this problem in the 4 years I've been dean of this university." It's the box. It's the 9 dots.
He came up with it.
He figured out how to get out of the box. I've never seen anybody get out of that box.
We've been stuck in this box.
The dirt mover had no expertise except to move dirt. He sat in the front row, slumped in his chair, scratching, chewing, and spitting tobacco, smoking and snoring stuff throughout the 2-day session. Dude, he was doing lines of coke. He did not want to be there.
They just let it happen.
After the seminar was finished, the man came up to Mike and said something surprising. "I enjoyed your seminar. Not right away. I went home the first night hating you. You used big words. Words like epistemology. You knew I didn't understand big words, but you used them anyway. And I'm pretty sure you made some of them up." Sorry, I added that. "I didn't understand half of the words, half of what you said, but I enjoyed it anyway. You didn't treat me like I was dumb. Thank you. Please tell Mr. Disney I appreciate being invited. Nobody's ever invited me to nothing before." Oh my God, that's so sad.
But isn't it great that he did? He got invited by the Walt Disney.
Yeah.
In his mind, at least.
"I'll move the dirt really good."
You say that, but it's like, assuming that it truly is a Roy Disney idea, I'm over here thinking that does probably have an effect. Even down to the pouring of the concrete, where it's like, I know this is really important to them. Usually I don't really try, but you know what? They get kind of inspired by Mike during this seminar. They're kind of going, you know what? Maybe I'm going to apply myself this time. I never got invited to anything before. These people, they extended an olive branch. So even though I'm working on the bathrooms at the Magic Kingdom theme park in Florida in the early 70s, I'm going to really give it a go this time.
Mike did one better than carry a message to Roy Disney. He took the man to meet him. Roy was a small man. His eye level was about at the dirt mover's belt buckle. Roy welcomed the man warmly, as if they were eyeball to eyeball, and asked what the man did. The dirt mover replied, "I move dirt." Roy thought a moment and said, "So do I. I work with bankers. It's the same thing." Roy invited the man to join him for a cup of coffee and a piece of pie. A pot of coffee and a whole pie later, they finished their conversation. Mike complimented the man on admitting to what he didn't know. Nobody knows everything. No matter how enthusiastic we get in our work, it doesn't mean we think we know it all. The true mark of a learning organization is a broad acceptance that there's always more to learn. I mean, that I think is like the best thing you could give in a book like this. This is not how to be successful. This is, you are successful. Everyone in your organization is important. Treat everyone the same.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good advice to...
to the businessman who's presumed to be reading this.
Right. Then it's back to a bunch of crap.
Tearing pages out to get to the next one. This is quicker. I do not
care. I can go faster this way. Roy asked Mike an interesting question one day during the construction phase of Walt Disney World. They were standing on Main Street in the Magic Kingdom when Roy asked what the park guests would do during the regular midday thunderstorms common to Central Florida. Mike recommended perhaps a rain parade would do. "What's a rain parade?" Roy asked. Mike replied that he wasn't sure himself. Oh, what?
But sorry, man, I was just...
But it sounded good off the top of the head. At least he was honest. That same evening, after dinner, Roy, Mike, and Bob Gianni, director of the entertainment division, were sitting around the swimming pool at the Hilton Inn, which Disney had taken over for training purposes prior to the opening of Disney World. Roy asked Mike if he'd told Bob about the rain parade idea yet. Mike hadn't. Roy said he'd been thinking about the idea since Mike first mentioned it and thought they could possibly have some sort of parade out on Bay Lake and bring it right up onto Main Street as a finale. Bob's interest was aroused, and he mentioned that he'd already been thinking about doing some type of show on the lake with Handel's water music, light and electronic synthesizer. Bob Gianni kept after the idea with his creative staff back in California and eventually developed the nightly electronic display on Bay Lake and the world-famous Main Street Electric Parade, both of which are Disney classics. Maybe the true lesson in this book.
We can glean one.
Just keep talking. Just if you fill the space, you'll eventually accidentally create something iconic.
If a million motivational speakers are all typing or some rambling complete nonsense into the void at all times, eventually they will get the full works of Shakespeare.
Right. If you give 1,000 motivational speakers 1,000 typewriters, they will eventually accidentally invent the Main Street Electrical Parade. And how does that make it better that there's rain? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, we could have a rain parade. What the hell are you talking about? I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I'm putting this in the book, though. This is one of my few interactions with Roy. Bank on those.
But that's basically what a motivational speaker is. It's just a lot of empty platitudes. I mean, if it helps people, it helps people. It also just kind of like functions in the same way that sermons do. Like religious sermons, everyone's brain has like an empty pocket for to like you can just insert, and like of the things you can insert, religion that only teaches kindness and empathy, that's a good insert. Motivational speaker that tells you to believe in themselves, that's a good insert. Let's all move to Oregon and live off the land and try to overthrow the local government. That's a bad insert. No. Believing in a religion that's telling you to do something awful or hate people, bad insert. But like there is like that little card reader in your brain.
It's ready.
Everyone has it to a certain extent, I guess. And for some people, you put a corporation in there.
That works just as well.
Happily ever, I'm crying.
Pass the sermon jar around after the fireworks. You pay to get in to see him.
Yeah, pass the till around Main Street, USA. People are throwing in loose dollars into the
They're throwing hair ties and scrunchies in there like Tava Everest.
We're now doing tithes and tithes and offering. Right before Tinkerbell comes out, it like pauses and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we will now do a tithes and offer." The ushers come out. I think it's so funny, though, to use people like Walt Disney and Steve Jobs as examples of this and not just mention just an uncomfortableness with lack of order and, you know, just this drive for perfectionism, because this perfectionist nature that just drives you to create this energy that, like, you have to have innately. Like, like Walt Disney, apparently, quoted in one of the quotes in here, he's like, "I can't stand still." You can't teach that. I kind of look at creativity and leadership and stuff like these types of things, like the same way I look at athletes. You can learn to be as good of a basketball player as you can be. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a huge chasm of improvement, a journey you can take to go from never touching a basketball to playing on a regular basis. You can improve your own, but you will never be Michael Jordan. You will never be ever. You will never be ever.
Yeah.
And
can't be taught.
I mean, he does say some people just have it. So, I'm sure. And also, I got to say, I mean, Mike Vance, I think he has it.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it's.
He brought it.